We are back. Welcome back. 8:14 here. It's a Tuesday morning. How you doing? J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you until 10 o'clock. Still to come if you got at least one code word into us yesterday in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. Stand by. We could be calling you with the good news that you have won your own customized Red Blacks jersey, which, based on the events of yesterday, maybe you want to go with a nice Stafford or you could go with a Davis. You're good to go with a Davis because pretty much the entire Red Blacks offense so far has been guys named Davis. Dominique Davis, Ryan Davis, Justin Davis.
Yeah, even
all members of the Red Blacks offense.
Way back Rough Riders, Clive.
Nice try. Yeah. Now, you could
multiple Williams coming into town.
Exactly. Not only multiple Williams. How about multiple Williams with sort of the same name?
Because
yesterday, the Red Blacks signed five players. Yeah. We had Paul Appelese on yesterday morning. And I think he was sort of hinting at the fact that they were going to do something.
He sounded chipper, like they were ready to work the wire.
It sounded like they had, he knew that they already had this in their back pocket. Did not choose to share it with us. And that's okay. But they signed five players. And again, they've been saying, we need some people here in Ottawa with some experience and something to do to help the offense. Well, first and foremost comes Kenny Stafford. We'll see what he's got left in the tank, but a seven-year veteran, Kenny Stafford is, played, I'm not sure most recently, I remember from his time in Edmonton, had 366 yards and catches in seven games back in 2019. Of course, did not play last year, nor did anyone else. Now, speaking of the Williams, the Ottawa Redblacks have cornered the market on guys named Terry or Terrence Williams because they signed five guys yesterday. Two of them have essentially the same name. Good luck, AJ. Terrence Williams is a former third-round draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys in 2013 who played 6 years with the Cowboys. All the Cowboy fans, Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Terrence Williams is coming to town. He's been signed by the Redblacks, spent 6 years with the Cowboys. While they were signing Terrence Williams, they were also signing Terry Williams, who played at University of Tennessee Martin as well. They also signed another receiver, a fellow by the name of Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. That's a good handle. And running back
Italian
by the name of
DeLance
Turner as well, who spent some time in the NFL with the Ravens and the Dolphins. Ooh. So five offensive players added, four of them receivers. So some of the receivers who have been not very good so far, maybe exiting Ottawa stage right relatively soon.
Yeah, already picturing Lee at practice with his Romo jersey on, right? Probably getting it autographed by Williams.
Yeah. Hey? He will be a guest on the Red Blacks radio show probably tonight.
It'll be a major, major love fest.
All right, Red Blacks radio show hosted by Lever Sage goes tonight at 6 o'clock here on TSN 1200. Okay, speaking of football. No, actually, I want to get to this text first because Brent, you're making a talking about how good-looking Timmy Stützle looked yesterday at the NHL Media Day. Yeah. So this is they brought in all players, I believe, from Canadian-based teams into Toronto yesterday. They met with the national media, did lots of interviews, lots of sort of video stuff that's going to be presented during hockey broadcasts for the coming season, et cetera, et cetera. They bring everybody into place. Each team represented there. Ottawa sent Thomas Chabot and Timmy Stützle, of course, Brady Tkachuk unsigned. So he was not there to represent the Sens. And you were mentioning how dapper that Timmy Stützle looked in his suit yesterday, to which Brent responds, based on what you had to say, I believe it was last week. Good morning, lads. With Simmer's description of Jimmy Stu's looks, it's obvious he never would have been able to play in Peterborough or Guelph. That's from Brent.
Absolutely.
He took a strong run at all junior hockey players who have played in either of those two markets, to which I reminded you that Mike Fisher was born in Peterborough, but that's still. And Luke Richardson, good Ottawa guy, with a strong chin and jaw.
Is Stevie Wyatt Peterborough Pete?
Very good-looking fella.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, he once in a while.
Also an Ottawa fella.
Once in a while, you're going to grab one hammer. But generally, if you go to the 85-86 yearbook, a lot of tall and really ugly people. And everybody in Guelph had a unibrow.
No,
it's documented in the yearbook.
Ugly is strong. Let's go with looks challenged.
Okay. Are they, you know, and every one of them was big, mean, and it was kind of the
sounds
look
like
package.
Maybe they just lit you up in the Sioux is maybe the strong.
Yeah,
a little bit of bitterness.
Here.
Strong
JR,
bitterness.
JR, headline. 1985, when I'm sucking beyond suckage can suck, I went into Peterborough, got my dad, who bought me a winter coat because he then realized the Sioux is actually very cold, I ended up getting a shutout. And the headline in the Sioux Star, Simmer shuts out powerful Pete's while his dad watches. So there you go.
Wow.
Right there.
Okay.
And I don't know how. I got so lucky. I don't think they did. I think they really disrespected us. It was one of those games where, like, stuff was hitting my pad. I was like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. Because I was so – you know what I used to do, Jared? My first year of junior hockey, I was like, I cannot believe how fast – and I kept saying to myself, I swear every time the puck goes in, am I closing my eyes? No. I'm being serious.
So typically when a goalie gets beat, they're kind of thinking to themselves, you know, should have stood a little more upright, or butterfly sooner.
Oh, yeah.
You were worried about whether your eyes were closed.
Yeah, I was like, do I keep blacking out? Oh, it's so hilarious.
As you're fishing another one out of the back of your net.
Oh, yeah. No, I was absolutely terrible. But that may have been the highlight of my season, along with, and this was another mistake I made, final game of the year, Pierre Dorion Sr., who's the head of Central Scouting, is coming in to watch me play in Windsor. Very powerful Windsor. Now, Jer, I never won a game in Windsor in 3 years, but I did have some great, very outstanding performances.
In a losing effort.
Well, I love their shot clock guy or girl because they always revved up the Spitfire, so it made me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Hey, I led an 8. They still have a 47 that they sent my way. It was his final game, and I remember the trainer came over to me. He goes, I want you to take this before the game. I'm like, okay. I don't know what it was.
What do you mean take? Take what, a pill?
Yeah, some pills. Oh,
okay.
I don't know. It's junior hockey.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I'll trust you, dog.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, this is. I'll save that story for another day. He's like, take these. I'm like, okay. I was just like, man, I don't know if they were.
It was a little like, woo.
Did you see the puck that night?
Oh, man. I was just flipping all over the place.
Eyes wide open.
I was like a beached whale. I was just going everywhere, and I just stood on my head, and then I said, well, I played well because Central Scouting was there. So the rest of my teammates were like, hey, do you want to play well in some of the other games? They were none too pleased that I left that effort for the end of the season.
Well, you ended up being the first goalie picked in your draft year, right?
And that's where Pierre Dorion Sr. used to come watch me stand behind me playing for Gloucester with Mike Dagenais' dad, Dennis. He was around the rink forever way back in the day.
Well, he was still scouting at those times. It wasn't there sort of a glass banging dad.
No. It was actually great. No, he was just a big hockey fan. And I think Pierre would be probably 6 or 7 years younger than me. He's actually a goaltender as well. But he was Central Scouting, and then not long after that got hired by Cliff Fletcher when he came over to the Leafs. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. By the way, glass-banging dad behind the opposing goalie.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
may be about as... I've talked about N-Bore dad a lot. N-Bore dad, of course, is the dad who usually starts the season by himself.
Yeah.
Then as several other dads get disgruntled as the season goes on and their kid should be on the power play or on the first defense or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If only he could find some better wingers, my kid would be, first
usually hands star. Usually hands in pocket, head down for conversation.
Yes. Yes, no eye contact made. N-Bore dad, maybe about as low as it gets, only exceeded by glass-banging dad behind the opposing goalie.
And I really... was, and again, even in Windsor, was the worst because they had a area for the visiting goal, JR, where there was like a deck right below above.
Oh no!
They used to
and no mesh back then.
Oh my God, no! They used to throw batteries and they used to throw coins and stuff at me. I'm like, I'm trying to listen to the frickin' song. It's like during the anthem, I'm getting hit by like batteries. I'm like, I'm not taking my helmet off.
Oh my God!
Here's another funny story. Our coach at the time, Don McAdam, was big into fitness, so every time
you know that crazy. Hockey coach that was into fitness.
Well, this is 80,
a maverick.
This is 85, JR. We're hockey players. We're not going for the decathlon. He used to make us run every time the bus stopped at a rink. We had to run.
Stop at a what?
When we got to the rink, we had to go for a run, and we didn't have great clothes. We're in Windsor, and the rink is in a really tough area.
Yes, yeah. The old Windsor Arena.
Yeah. No. He tells us to go for a run. Next thing you know, we're getting chased by people. We were like,
what, thinking that you guys had stolen something?
Oh, they didn't know. They wanted to steal something from
us. Teenagers these days.
Oh, my God. We were so scared. We like ran right into the building. So
right across the river, right over to Detroit, the safer place.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know if I've told you guys, so not that long. So we used to, the Bell Capital Cup. which is, I believe, still going on. There was a time, maybe still is the case, where if you were as a fundraiser, as a local hockey team, you could run the rink, right? And then you would make the proceeds from the money that was paid by spectators coming into the game, et cetera, et cetera. So you did that as a major fundraiser. So the team that I was helping with that my daughter played for, we did this for several years at the Kanata Rec Center. And so... And you know what? There's at the Bell Capital Cup, there's everything from there's a ton of house league divisions to everything up to back in the day. Like it when it was at its biggest, they had AAA level. So this is Adam and Pee Wee, and teams would come from, well, some of them came from Europe, right? From China, but several from the United States. And so there was a team that came in from Buffalo, AAA. So this is AAA Adam. I believe, Major Adam.
Are you stealing American cash?
No, I'm not stealing anything. And this goes back to my story of glass banging, end board dead behind the other goalie.
Yeah.
So the rule at this particular rink, to keep the parents out of being downstairs where all the rinks are, is you're not allowed to go down there, right?
Yeah.
Only the coaches are allowed to go down there. Let's just keep it all civil.
And for sure.
There's stands there for you to participate as a parent. Anyway, I'm watching this. I'm trying to keep track of everything that's going on. And there's a collection of about three or four hockey dads from Buffalo that are down behind. Again, this is Major Adam, AAA hockey players, 9 years old or whatever. They're down behind. They're playing some team. They're banging the glass behind the kid. They're just being idiots.
Oh, my God.
So I got to go down there. First of all,
we're about to throw down here.
It's against, again, it's written and said when you come in, you're not allowed to go down the stairs and be down in where the dressing rooms are, which is the only way you can get down to behind the rink as well. Mm-hmm. There's stands at this particular rink at the KRC. So I had to go down there, and there's four of them, and I go, and I try to be nice about it, right? They're being idiots. I try to be nice about it. Hey, guys, you know, as we told you when you came in, you know, the rule is you can't be down behind the glass. You got to be up in the stands. So do you mind going up? No. No was their quick answer.
This isn't going as smoothly as you were hoping.
Well,
AJR.
Are you going for backup? Or are you thinking of throwing down, but right there?
I kind of anticipated a no. And I go to my backup plan, which is to say, you know, the rules are, you know, that you have to leave.
Nice otherwise, one, home monitor.
Otherwise, you know, potentially I could have to forfeit your team from doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Throw down the old.
Look at me and they go, we're not moving here, bud. So I just turned around and left.
That's a beautiful.
And they were banging the glass for the rest of the game. So whatever team they're playing, might have been from Ottawa and the P and whatever. I apologize. I tried my best. Yeah. I had no chance.
You went hard.
I had no chance 1-on-1 with any of them. No idea the background. Just knew they were from Buffalo, so knew they were probably tough. Might have been a team actually coached by Matthew Barnaby, because I think he was the coach of his son was playing. At the Bell Capital Cup 1 year. So may have been some of the dads on that team. I mean, the next time we have Matthew on, maybe we'll have to talk about that.
Absolutely.
He'd even give us some insight on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't awesome. It wasn't really a good time, especially when I turned tail and had to leave. But would have been good if I was...
Well, where's all the backup from everybody else there?
You know, we had people
at
that
least
were...
you went down there to try to get them to move. Nobody else.
That's
did
where you
that.
Have the walkie-talkie system going, or you have the little
well, you have
the
some
one
signs.
That, or the one that hangs on your coat, right, where you just say, "I want backup." Hey, and that's where like the three women come in and say, "Hey, come on."
Hey, the three women come in and say, "What?"
Well,
come
help,
on, get going, like,
get going.
Yes, gotcha.
Bring in the muscle.
All right. Monday Night Football last night, incredible game. We went through it earlier this morning, just the overtime itself. So let's take you to. Okay, so first of all, it's a back-and-forth game. The Ravens are up big for most of the game. The Raiders come back. They tie it late in the fourth quarter. The Ravens go ahead again with a field goal with 42 seconds to go. You're thinking it's over. Somehow, some way, the Raiders get it down in the field goal range. The guy nails a 55-yarder to tie it with 2 seconds left. So we're going to overtime. Great. It's been a great back-and-forth game. They go to overtime. Raiders get the ball first. They march it down the field. It looks like they have won the game on a long pass down the sideline. Turns out the guy... fell at the half-yard line. His knee touched down, so he didn't get the ball into the end zone. So the Raiders now have the ball at the half-yard line. Again, the way the rules work, in overtime, if you score a touchdown, game's automatically over. They're at the half-yard line. What can go wrong, right? The Raiders run the ball into the line on the quarterback's knee. He gets stopped. Next play, illegal procedure. They're back 5 yards. Now they're at the 6. Now they got to throw it into the end zone. Of course, you know what happens because it's the Raiders. They throw an interception. Baltimore has somehow, looks like they're going to somehow pull this out. Lamar Jackson gets sacked. Subsequent to that, fumbles. The Raiders get the ball again. And John Gruden is like, I'm not going to take any chances this time. On second down, so they run a first down play. Second down, I don't remember what line they were on, but they're like, let's bring out the field goal guy. Let's win the game on a field goal right now, because both teams had a possession. They can't find the field goal guy. He runs on the field, and they don't have a timeout left at this point. He runs on the field with 4 seconds to go. They realize time runs out. They don't have time to have the kick, so they're back 5 yards. Now it becomes too long, so they're going to run another offensive play. They've been forced through their ineptitude to run another offensive play instead of trying to win the game. And so, of course, you know what happened next.
What else can happen, Kevin?
I don't know. Let's see. Carr's going to get the shotgun snap. They blitz from the side. It's picked up. He throws an arching pass down the side. It's caught at the 5. Touchdown, Zay Jones. The Raiders have won. On a touchdown pass of 31 yards.
There's our friend, the overly descriptive Kevin Harlan, with the call here on TSN 1200 last night of the ending of an absolutely bizarre Monday night game that the Raiders pull out 33-27 over the Ravens.
Yeah, and absolutely cool, Jared. First of all, the game, the chaos, to see fans in the stands. Imagine opening up that beautiful stadium and all of a sudden no fans for an entire year. Last night, 75,000. And also post-game, Lamar Jackson, I don't know if you saw the video, he must have had at least $3 million worth of necklace going. He has some necklace that looks like a...
You think it was real, or was it cubic zirconia?
With the cash,
I'm going with real.
Yeah, no, did you guys see any of the clip? Like, he's got these medallions going. I'm like, wow, better have some good security there. And as far as the game itself, exciting, but yeah, the Raiders under Mr. Gruden have certainly been mass chaos, and sure, the Ravens kicking themselves after losing that one.
Yeah, that was a game the Ravens should have won. Yeah. The Raiders somehow, listen. They're only looking at W's at the end of the day.
No,
that's
sure.
They pulled that one out, so credit that they did. They did end up winning the game, but yeah. I don't think Raider fan would look at this and go, oh, this has been a good start to the year. We're absolutely like we're going to make a push for it. That was
Carr like 34 for 56 or something?
Yeah, for 436. So he was chucking it all over the field, but at points he was running for his life. Well, even on that play right there, he kind of – no, it was a good play. The guy is the guy who ends up catching it, Zay Jones, who formerly used to play for the Bills, runs away from the defender, but he just kind of chucked it up, not for grabs, but to an open part of the field, and the guy ran under it. But he was under
almost
pressure
hopping,
there.
He's hopping up in the air when he throws off his back foot.
So an interesting part, if you were watching the game last night, and again, TSN's got 5 channels. 4 of them were dedicated to the game last night. 3 of the 4 were running the main ESPN feed, which is, you know, Steve Levy – Lewis Reddick and Brian Greasy, right? The guys that did the games last year. And they're decent. You know, they're not sort of must watch. I don't think most people think they're a decent crew, not the best that's ever been put together, but decent. But on the ESPN is trying something new this year down on one of their channels. They've got Peyton Manning and Eli Manning watching the game from their respective homes, as you can imagine. Pretty nice. So they're in their living rooms. They got the massive couches with the huge TV. They got cameras in there. And so the way it's presented on your television screen is you got 3/4 of the screen is the actual game. The other 2 is them in a box in the corner of them just riffing about the game. They're not doing play-by-play. They're just kind of talking about the plays. At various times, they bring in special guests. Charles Barkley came in for the 1/4. Who was it the 2/4? You just reminded me of that earlier this morning.
Oh, was that Ray Lewis?
Right. And then Travis Kelce of the Chiefs, and then Russell Wilson came in for the 4/4 and stuck around. He goes, I got film to watch, guys, but my kids are in bed. I'll stick around for overtime. And they were all really good, offering great insight. So, but it's not like at some points they're kind of breaking it down and they're why did this guy do this? And what do you, but at times they're absolutely acting like we would as fans.
Okay.
When the Raiders threw the interception, in overtime, I tweeted out the still picture of them. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has his head in his hands, leaning down, and Eli Manning has his head thrown back. What the did we just see right there? It's a perfect encapsulation of how crazy a game that it was. Yeah. All that to say, it was just a totally different way to watch a football game. So here's a compilation of a little bit of how the Mannings came across last night during Monday Night Football.
Can.
What's a can mean?
He just canned it right there. Those are 2 plays I just caught. I cannot just
helmet doesn't fit.
Shocking, shocking that a helmet doesn't fit you.
Rocker right tight, shorty flash on the freeze play, ready, break.
Here we go, hey, it's cover two, run 58 freedom, 58 freedom.
Hey, let me get to my cadence here. I gotta get
sorry.
A white
I'm
18.
I'm just so excited.
White 18, hut.
What's the receiver doing? He's not handing the ball. You gotta hand the ball to the ref right there, right? You gotta hand it to him. You can't throw it to him.
Don't throw it to the ref. They
cannot catch.
Get pressure with four, cover two man. Eli, what'd you do? You set the alarm.
So at one point, the fire alarm goes off at Eli Manning's condo. So he's doing the play-by-play as the fire alarm is going on in the background. So that's a small compilation. But you know
that
what?
It's like just a lot of fun.
It's just a different. Like I put it out there on my Twitter, and a bunch of people that because I think most people weren't aware, right? They probably put on their main TSN channel, and they're kind of like they're just watching the broadcast, right? And I said, hey, listen, if you got all the channels, you got TSN 3. Put it on. It's different, and it is. And man, pretty much across the board, everybody went. I turned it over to the Mannings, and I never turned it back to the main broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know whether people this is the way that people want to consume games going forward, or it was fun as a one off. I'd love to get people's reaction to it because it was. And we've seen this. Stevie Dangle is that Leafs fan started doing this as well, where. He just has, I think, a YouTube channel, right, where he's watching the game. He's acting like a super fan.
Yeah.
He's reacting to all the plays in live time, and people are watching him watch the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is, we're kind of on to new frontiers as far as how we watch games on TV.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And as far as Peyton, a lot there. I'm assuming for Eli, I guess he's open based on his inconsistency, Jared, a little more criticism. But, hey, they love their football.
They know how to make fun of themselves, too.
Exactly, very much so. And I guess this also, I don't know if it continues to set up, but you keep hearing about the network's offer and Peyton the opportunity to do TV. And, God, he's tremendous when he does commercials. I wonder at what point he's going to make a decision to hop over and do some work.
What do you mean? Be an analyst?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He's been offered. He's been offered more money than Tony Romo.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it's not. I mean, he's got scads of money, right? I think it's just would he find it challenging enough? I think this is maybe an experiment, maybe to see. But, you know, when you get into a formal play-by-play broadcast, maybe he kind of goes, well, that's not what I don't want to be just all X's and O's guy.
Yeah, for
I want to have fun while I do it. And it's not like Tony Romo and those guys don't have some fun. Some guys are super serious, but.
Yeah.
You know, but by and large, it's for this NFL super fan, right?
No,
they want all their stuff straight up. They don't want any kind of fun. Just give me my information.
Yeah. No, I agree. And also, you have to be so careful, JR, and this is why they put on an alternative. Well, first of all, for Tony Romo, I think people have gotten past the Cowboys aspect. But when you go to broadcast, a national broadcast, you are broadcasting to two different fan bases. And as we see, and I think about Gary Galley last year doing the playoffs, it's like, man, if you're not complimentary all day long to the Montreal Canadiens, the fan base is all over you, right? And for the fan that's locked into their team, which none of us would have been last night, it's really cool to see it. Where if I'm a, you know, maybe you're a fan of the team, that's all. I'm just saying a little different. I think also for him, like we see Kenny leaving on a Thursday, probably the idea to go Thursday to Monday the entire year, kind of get the sense he doesn't want to make that commitment either, right? Where it's like, hey, I don't want to be away. Not that it's mega time, but I'd rather have my family time.
Sorry, we're talking about Kenny Albert?
No, I'm talking about the Mannings as far as...
Oh.
I'm just saying Kenny leaves on a Thursday.
Albert.
Yeah, you're back Monday. Like, if Manning goes into this, it's not like you just show up for the day of the game is my point.
Right.
Right? It's like, hey, you got to put the work in, and it becomes a full-time job.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, love your feedback. If you did end up watching it last night, would that be something that you would like to watch? As far as I know, I think ESPN is going to do this all season. This was not just a one-off, let's see how it goes.
With those two?
Yeah, with those two.
Oh, cool,
yeah,
cool.
I think they signed up for it for the entire season. So if you didn't get a chance to catch it last night, presumably it will be a part of Monday Night Football going forward. I found it, like, I'm prone to like Peyton Manning's fun side anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
The commercials he did over the years, like, you know,
hosting SNL, say
what you will, if you're a Colts fan or not, or a Broncos fan, or you hated them on the field, you'd be hard pressed to think that they weren't actually fun guys to listen to. And Eli, yeah, he's got to be more self-deprecating. He's got the two Super Bowls over your Patriots. His career was not nearly as good as his brother, but I think he knows how to make fun of himself as well. At one point, Archie Manning, their dad, because they're reading tweets and texts at times as well, and his dad texts in and says to Peyton, "Stop scratching your head so much," because he would be sitting there, and while he was talking, he would just scratch his head, and that's he said that comes from your mother.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he actually appeared on a celebrity roast, and some of the stuff they said about his forehead and his overall size of his head was, I would just say, a little over the top. So I guess people have made fun of that for a while, but they are entertaining and knowledgeable, and yeah, that ability to make fun of yourself certainly helps.
Some texts have come in. Gord writes, "Hey, JR, I thought the broadcast was fantastic. What they do is to make a very boring game very interesting. You want to watch just because of what they might say. You get insight in and you also get insight into what they're talking about. It's going to be fantastic." Thanks. That comes from Gord.
They keep them away from a Giants game? Wondering for Daniel Jones. I just wonder with Eli, you know, whether or not they'd be hey, let's steer clear of that.
Yeah. I don't know if the Giants are on Monday Night Football this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming they probably play well. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
It's like watching a game with a loud friend who won't let you get a word in edgewise. That comes from unsigned. So perhaps saying that they talk too much.
Wow.
Again, the reason that they're on there, and I'm sure that they were told, you've got to keep talking. You can't just sit there and watch it for 30 seconds and not say anything. Yeah. That is part of filling. That's the reason that you're there. So for people that thought they talked too much, I mean, that is why they're there.
Well, and also for the loud friend you generally have, at least they know football. So that's helpful, right?
Or they think they know football. Usually
the
louder...
No, I meant the man, he's no football. The loud friend doesn't generally.
No. Usually the louder somebody talks, the less they know.
Yeah.
All right, keep your thoughts coming. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Phone line's always open at 750-1200. When we come back, we'll get you the latest on what's up, Chuck, with Brady Tkachuk remaining unsigned, 8 days away from the start of training camp, and what's going on with the Sens now this week. Development camp is wrapped up, rookie camp around the corner. First prospects game coming up this weekend. So all the latest on the NHL news and much more is coming up next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. I used to nail this song on Rock Band until that part right there when Tom York reaches that note that I can't reach. You know, because it was like you watched it on your TV screen and it was like I'm matching him note for note. I am nailing this. And then he goes up a couple of octaves and I just can't get there. Other than that,
the crowd would start to boo. And then they would just boo you off the stage, and then the song would crash out.
Well, then
and
the
that's it.
The song ends right when you start going off key. Yep. And
if you're too bad,
just couldn't hold that note, man. I tried to nail that so many times, just couldn't get her.
Are you doing a guitar at the same time or just singing?
No, that's more Guitar Hero. Well, this one, Rock Band, you could play any instrument or sing.
That's right.
Isn't that the way it works?
You had lead guitar.
Yeah.
You had drums.
Uh-huh.
You had a microphone.
Yep.
And you had bass.
Right.
If you like. Handed out the cash for an extra guitar.
Right.
And then you could have the bass, and bass was always easy. It's just like red, yellow, green.
As a duplication or kind of a visual, I picture JR being kind of more of a Mick Jagger.
Exactly. Aye. Putting on a show. Aye.
A lot of flair. Aye.
Look what I got going on right here.
Tight pants.
Yep.
The way that fella dances at 70-plus years old or whatever he is, pretty impressive,
I went right for the microphone, man. I'm telling you, every single time. And then I gave up on it, and it's collecting dust in the corner like... Pretty much everybody else's rock band, right?
Well, what was that for? That was for the PS3, right? We're not even talking about PS4 for that.
I don't remember.
Two generations ago.
There is a collection of those things. Like, we have in the den.
Do you have
TV.
An Atari?
Huh?
Man, a lot of people are paying a lot of good money for retro
don't
gaming right
have
there.
Have an Atari.
Are you
sure? I might have Pong down in my basement.
That was the beginning. That's the building blocks of video games right there.
Yeah, I used to. I was on fire with
tennis. Don't shame Atari tennis.
I was always.
I used to go with
the small stick, man.
Yeah.
People would go with the long stick. I could nail tennis at top speed with the small stick.
Yeah.
And I are holding back a ton of jokes right now.
It was just funny how nervous he got playing the darn thing. Hey, I was never sure till you end up getting the rhythm. I'd say strength of video games, I'd probably go... Everybody was good at Galaga, right? There's no such thing as being a bad Galaga player. Space Invaders would have been. A little Gabriel Pizza.
I had a solid Frogger game.
Frogger? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's when Pac-Man, and that was right there as well.
Usually helped along with.
Oh, nice,
know,
nice.
Well, you know what?
Pac-Man just... machine always had a lot of burns on it, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was from people hitting the pipe or if it was just the cigarettes.
2 a.m., there was a place in the small town that I grew up in that the only place that was open for late early morning snacks on the way home had the Pac-Man going. And you're absolutely right. There were burn marks in places that shouldn't
Did
be
the
burn
lights
marks.
Went under the influence give you a little bit of an extra go? Because that game appears to be a bit psychedelic, hey?
All I know is I was good at it, and I don't know why.
I'll tell you,
you became Pac-Man. Hey, you were inside the video game.
There's a game that you can download now on the PlayStation called Overcooked, which is some extremely addictive, but you need to be organized game. You play. I was playing it with my youngest son, so the whole gist is to make these orders, make these meals where you need to chop ingredients. Cook the ingredients. I'll just give soup as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Some soup might need 2 tomatoes, 1 mushroom.
Yeah.
So you need to chop the mushroom, chop the tomato, get it into the pot,
wow.
boil it, cook it, get it into the plate.
You have Gordon Ramsay shouting in your ear the whole time?
Then you got dirty plates
it's
coming
back. It's not restaurant quality.
Exactly. And then you got dirty plates coming back. So now you've got to wash the plates because you have a limited number of plates. You've got limited room because you run into each other nonstop.
What's it called?
Overcooked.
All right.
And he is just getting ticked at me because I'm not getting
too
to the
slow.
Soup pot in time. Exactly.
Too slow on the uptake. You're an
chopping
old man.
Chopping the onion. He wants a tomato. I give him an
onion.
He's like, that's it. You're cut, old man.
You
you're
know
gone.
Restaurants are having trouble right now finding people, right? If you're good
time,
at this game,
time.
Overcooked, man, move it into the real world. There are restaurants out there that need you.
I got a 10-year-old head chef that's ready to go that can make a perfect 3 mushroom soup.
You slide him right into your own kitchen, Hammer. Don't even bother with the restaurant.
That's restaurant quality.
But
it's addictive.
Restaurant I go to, they have a sign up saying looking for chefs, eh?
Oh, my goodness. They can't. Yeah. Well, no one can find anybody to work right now, unfortunately. All right. A couple of texts at 12-1200. I watched the Manning broadcast instead of the regular one, and I kind of liked it. Interesting to hear the breakdown of the game from top-end QBs and their guests. Really interesting insight into play calling and player mentality. Also, I'm a Raiders fan, and that was the most Raider way to end a game. I'm almost numb to it now.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on them, though. I think they may surprise people this year. Have a good day, lads. That comes from Dave.
What division are they in, JR, again?
AFC West.
Yeah. So forget
it. So they're in with the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're
Chiefs are great. Are going to be good again.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos, they're kind of, I'll call them a surprise team. I don't know. People go that will haul the NFL. They're not a surprise team. I think Broncos are going to be good this year. And the Chargers as well. That's a strong division for the Raiders. And I'll say this, and this is interesting from Dave, because he brings up the point of watching the Manning broadcast last night, which, as I said, was entertaining and interesting. If my favorite team, which for me is the first place in the NFC East Philadelphia Eagles at 1-0 after a 32-6 dismantling of the powerful Atlanta Falcons, if they, and I think they play Monday Night Football in a couple of weeks against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, because when my team is on,
I agree.
I think I want to watch, even if they're not the most electric play-by-play crew. I think I'd rather still watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
As I think about it right now, any other team, a game like last night, I'll watch it. But I think if my favorite team is playing, I'd want to watch the regular broadcast.
I agree with that. Now, you've got a choice. Manning Brothers or Phil Simms doing the Eagles?
Oh, my God. Phil Simms. Yeah, if he's doing the Eagles broadcast, I'm probably just muting it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I remember the days playing, speaking of people throwing stuff at you as a goalie.
Yeah.
I remember the old days playing in the old Smith Falls barn. Butch in Whiskey Row would be screaming obscenities at me in my crease with a megaphone. Wow. That's bringing a megaphone to, I'm presuming, a kid's game. That's interesting. Interesting thing to play. Hey, guys. You guys have to try to get Kevin Harlan on for an interview. The guy's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear him call a CFL game. That comes from the Robber Baron.
Yeah. I'd love to have him here just calling our show as we're doing I'm assuming that he has a bit of a side thing where some of the guys, although it's dubbed over, but where you can have Joe Buck or somebody like Kevin Harlan just coming into your office and doing play-by-play of what everybody's doing. I think it'd be a blast. Hey?
Yeah. Let's see here. It's kind of talking about that. It's kind of like a YouTube and a Twitch streamer vibe talking about the Manning thing. It may interest the younger viewers or casual viewers with the Mannings. That comes from Spencer.
Yeah, and again, Spencer, that is exactly it. It is impossible for me, and I don't consider, I'm a very young 53 JR, but when Maddie is up watching somebody play Madden football on TV, I cannot comprehend as to what the interest level would be. But as you pointed out with the dangler, you throw him on sometimes. First of all, he's incredibly witty. His face is pretty much in the camera. What appeals is like, hey, you're trying to figure out different ways. Like I said, and we joked for years, Hammer, about why would you turn on a TV to watch somebody else play a video game?
Yep.
Right? But it just, hey, that's something there. That same reason as you said, I think an adult JR said, hey, why would you turn on a program that shows you somebody building a house or redoing a house, right?
Because I can't build my own house. I'm curious. I want to know how.
I know, but even to your point, like, I don't think in my lifetime, I'm old enough to go all the way back to walk with Yan. JR, did you have a nice little walk with Yan back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the food stuff is so off the charts right now, right? I mean, was it Guy Ferrari to Gordon Ramsay? Unfortunately, Anthony
Bourdain.
That's
restaurant quality. Well, was it Emeril Lagasse, right? Bam! That was the guy that really, brought it. Oh, hey.
What about Gianna? What's her name there? Always had to reach for the salt.
Oh, yeah?
Toward the camera with the low plunging neckline.
Oh, Phoenix. There you go. Yeah. The only problem I have with the Gordon Ramsay one.
Let me reach for it.
The Gordon Ramsay one, it unfortunately becomes a bit repetitive. That's the only part.
That's restaurant quality. Well, he's got 17 different shows as well.
I know.
He's mowing. Yeah. Whose lawn is he mowing now by going out and about into the wilderness?
No, Bourdain a little bit. But nobody can give the background. One of the things you notice, Hammer, when you go to watch him is that he's certainly, from a food standpoint, very good. But if you try to find the other ones, he don't know anything about the culture, right? Like Bourdain the last 5 years, was the food was nothing. It was just him getting hammered and eating. It was really more about what had gone on. And boy, I'm really missing that. I hope they can find somebody. And Gordon doesn't have the depth. Doesn't have the deep depth, Hammer, or JR, that Bourdain has.
You don't take him as seriously, that's for certain.
Yeah, but he's done incredible what he's accomplished for himself.
Yeah, when in doubt, just say,
restaurant Colty! And swear, a few F-bombs goes a long way as well.
But for anybody, we can't even talk about it or play it on our thing. Have you watched ever the little Gordon Ramsay that's a spoof off of him?
Oh, no.
Oh, my jumping. He has a little kid that looks just like him that goes in the very first episode, JR, he's with his parents, and it's my parents' anniversary dinner, and he goes and sits down. And then all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and he's talking to his parents. He gets all upset. He goes up to the maitre d'. He's like 7 years old. He goes, what the F is going on in here? And then he's back to it. So anybody gets an opportunity, a little homework, go watch Little Gordon. I think there's three of them that are played on YouTube.
That was, you know what, your attempt at an Irish accent. Was it an Irish accent?
I don't know, but it was. See, but
that rivaled, was it Richard Gere in Day of the Jackal? Where you just, every time he was trying to talk.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Richard Gere.
I'm going to say, just historically, that the women do a lot better. There are a couple, and especially when the British women switch to American accent chair, and then you look them up and you realize they're actually British. I'm like, come on, that can't be possible, right? I wonder if turning off the accent is better than turning it on. Stop laughing, Hammer.
Sorry, I was watching Little Gordon Ramsay.
Oh,
Little
no.
46. Oh, it's like 46. Now, they bleep out the swears, but they don't bleep it out enough.
No.
You know exactly what's being said, but the old mom comes out with the school lunch.
Yeah. What
the F-bomb's this?
Yeah.
Mom starts to cry. Oh, great, the waterworks. This is really going to help. And mom walks out crying.
I told you. And remember, she's with the right bread. And he goes, what the F is this? And she's like, I'm sorry, Gordon.
That's restaurant quality.
And then the other one's hilarious is he's throwing F-bombs everywhere, and then when they go to leave the restaurant, he's being like swung by his parents like a little kid. So yeah, watch that if you get a kick out of it. Always good for a good laugh.
Before we end the hour, let's get an update to Ottawa's favorite game show. What's up, Chuck? Here we are, Tuesday morning, 8:59. Simmer, has anything changed in the last 2 hours?
I can tell you that one of the things that's a bit of a pressure point that's been pointed out to me is that one of his big goals this year is to play the U.S. Olympic team.
Stop.
So that, it could be, if you were following why he'll be
here.
He's
not at the first day of camp. That's it. Over.
Sully's already been texting him and saying, hey, man, if you're not in camp, I'm really worried about Sid's wrists, but I'm going to follow if you're in camp or not. If you're not in camp, you're off. You know what? Your brother's off, too.
Wow. That's a family deal.
And your dad don't even want to talk to the big Chuck. No, nothing new. As I said, he's in St. Louis. He'll do his thing, and they'll continue to negotiate. And you pointed out, and I don't think it, I don't even know how the Matthew Tkachuk one played out. But, hey, I think the sense of urgency is for Sens fans. It'll be a story the opening day. But 4 or 5 days in, if they end up wrapping up a contract year, it's not a big deal. It's really as you move towards opening night is, what, October 14th?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get to October 1st. Now I'm going to start to say, hey, this is a little worrisome in the sense of what has been created between the two sides during it. And I'll be very sincere. This is when Newport Sports or any of the major firms will then turn the page and say, listen, we've worked for you long enough. And this is where they will, and probably not successfully, because I know Brady Tkachuk wants to be in Ottawa. This is where they will turn the page and start trying to find teams that are willing to ever write an offer sheet if possible.
Right. Okay. Wow. That rearing, it's...
No. Yeah. I'm just saying this is the way it works. They're going to work with you. And hey, they'll smile you and with you, and they're good negotiators. But they're basically saying to you, hey, you want the player? Here's what it is. I mean, it's pretty simple. Do you want to sign him or not? And hey, we're still very, very early in that. Lots of time to go. But like I said, not a whole lot different other than there. Nothing is imminent. But again, the same thing when I talk to people is always, JR, this can turn on a dime, right? I mean, you never know what phone call could be made in 10 minutes. Later, you have a deal done.
As it sits right now, Brady Tkachuk remains in St. Louis. So you've been saying for the last week he will remain in St. Louis until either a deal is signed or about to be signed, and will not be appearing in Ottawa until then. Yeah. And again, we talk about it every day. I know it's a really important topic for everybody. 8 days away from camp. I'm not sitting here, as an observer of this and panicking. As you said, it can all change. Today, tomorrow, on the weekend, up next Tuesday, next Wednesday morning, it can all change. I'll go back to the Mitch Marner example being one of the most recent ones where the Leafs began their training camp out in Newfoundland, and Mitch Marner signed on the very first day they showed up there. So, Pierre Dorion continues to say from his perspective, things are positive.
Yeah.
That's what we have from the Sen side. Your reports from the Tkachuk side, suggest that maybe not quite at the optimism level. But all that to say, things can change in an instant.
Yeah, and the important part is nothing super negative, and the part that always keeps coming back is how much he loves being an auto center. So you try to figure it out. And I do believe in this case, JR, in the case of the Toronto media, and the sense of urgency, the Marner camp played it so well, was this was another one of the seasons where they thought they could win a cup, right? Like, the way that pressure point fell for Marner,
right.
I think when the media and everything else, that was a real positive for them. Where for Brady Tkachuk, he has the leverage. But I don't think all of a sudden the eve of training camp, Ottawa's sitting there shaking in their boots either.
Yeah, so yesterday they had the NHL media day for the national media in Toronto. So a bunch of the star players from all the Canadian teams showed up in Toronto. And Chabot and Stützle were there from the Sens. And again, stands to reason, despite the text we had from a few people this morning. Listen, Brady Tkachuk's not going. He's an unsigned player right now.
Yeah.
There's nothing unusual about that.
No,
that being said, Frank Saravelli was on, as you said, with Wally and Mathot yesterday, and mentioned that the U.S. equivalent is Thursday in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And that both of the Tkachuks apparently have been invited, maybe is what he said. So it'll be interesting if Brady shows up to the U.S. one in Chicago, which is not that far from St. Louis, or whether he just stays home and avoids it altogether.
Yeah, my guess is he wants to sell the game, Jared. Wouldn't be. And you know what? Hey, you can control. And for most of the national media, Brady Tkachuk not being in camp with Ottawa is not that big of a deal anyway. So it would be quickly, hey, not
going to... It's a big deal. It's a huge deal in Ottawa.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a reasonably sized deal in terms of Canada. Don't know that it's even on the radar screen in the United States.
The fact that it's the name and an American player, they'll ask. But it's not like all of a sudden that's going to be driving hits to your website. But it becomes. And also the fact, as you pointed out, there's 16 restricted free agents out there right now, not to mention the likes of Pedersen, to Hughes, to Kaprizov.
And Rasmus Dahlin as well. To me, dates are important as far as when the pressure starts to ratchet up on this right now. I think the other part of the equation is if those guys, particularly the big-name guys, all end up getting signed and Tkachuk remains unsigned.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
When, if I'm a Sens fan, that's when I would start to worry.
Yeah.
Until then, we wait and watch. And stand by for the next edition of What's Up, Chuck? All right, we'll take a break. 9:04, latest news. Run down the scoreboard for you. Raiders win the crazy Monday nighter. The Jays are red hot. We're going to come back and talk some Blue Jay baseball with our friend Keegan Matheson from MLB.com. He's been watching them win 12 out of 13. How far can they go?
including how far in the playoffs, if they get there. We'll talk to Keegan Matheson when we come back, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.